I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Mel. Mel is a mother of one living in the Northern Rivers, New South Wales, Australia. She is a naturopath, a transpersonal arts therapist, a ritual facilitator, and a medicine drum maker. Today, we are going to talk about her natural birth that took place in her home, in a birth pool, during the hot summer, with the drumming and the singing and the fire roaring, and her partner, doulas, and midwives present. We dive on into the shamanic realms of birth, of being the portal between the heavens and the earth, of coming to a place in the birth journey where the veils between the worlds are so thin. Mel shares vulnerably and openly about her postpartum and how much society has lost its way when it comes to caring for the newborn mother. Curious about Mel? Visit her at ourvisionarywellbeing.org. Hi, and welcome, Mel, to the Natural Birth Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. How are you today?
I'm really well. I'm also really excited. It's a really beautiful opportunity to be able to share my birth story in this way. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It is so exciting to talk about birth. I love talking about birth, and I love that mamas are so excited to talk to me about birth. And I'm sure that everybody listening can't wait to hear about your natural birth story. So let's dive in. Tell us, what were the signs that you got in the early hours leading up to actually birth starting?
So for myself, I just moved into a new home, and the previous tenants were still sort of moving out. I was roughly a week earlier than my due date. And I could feel Braxton Hicks type of, you know, sensations in my body. They were very drawn out and very irregular, and I was still, you know, thought I had another week or so. And then as pretty much as the next morning after the people had left the premises, I had a show. So my plug.
Your mucus plug.
My mucus plug came out, and I was like, oh, okay. Here we go. And then it was still very irregular and that not much was really happening for the entire day. I was just at home, taking it really easy, just observing. And it wasn't until the evening of that night that I just had a little meditation with myself and my baby. And whilst I was meditating, I kind of heard the spirit of my child just say, "What are you waiting for? This is it. It's just you and me."
Wow.
And that's, and you know, it's time to go. And so pretty much within the hour after that, I started getting stronger contractions. I was in my bed. I'm pretty certain my water broke. And
was that in your bed? It broke?
In my bed, yeah.
Was it a big splash or a little
No,
bit of
it was
trickle?
just release of fluid. And my partner was working. I was kind of trying to encourage him to get the birth pool happening. He was a little bit in kind of he wasn't convinced
that was happening.
That it was happening.
Right.
And then I basically got myself into the shower and I was like, this is really happening. And my birth support, my friend, was also on the phone to me and I was like, I'm not sure if it's happening or it is. And she's like, I'm just going to come around just in case. So I think once she arrived and I was in the shower and she got my partner a bit more activated and they got the birth pool set up, it was, yeah, well and truly happening.
So what does that mean to you? So you were in bed, the waters were, you know, broke. Did you check the liquid? Were you told that by the midwife?
No, I didn't check anything. I just could feel like, suppose, like this sense of leaving the shore, you know, like I had been holding on to the shore of like, you know, not, yeah, pre-labor.
Yeah.
And it was like something in me kind of clicked and I was like, okay, let go, give yourself to this. And once I did that, there was just kind of the contractions were getting more regular. They were getting stronger. I was sort of dissolving more into that kind of multidimensional, transpersonal kind of place, like my inner, more sort of in my inner world.
Yeah, right. And during that time, did you experience it as painful? What was the sensation?
No, it was definitely confronting because I knew that there was no turning back.
Yeah,
and all my romantic ideas of having a baby, it was like, oh, right, that's right, now we have to get it out. Now it needs to come out. So I was confronting, but I felt quite resourced. I didn't really have, my fear. I didn't really have much fear around the birthing process. My fears were always more about the health of my child, not so much about my body's ability to birth my child or my child's innate kind of, you know, instincts of birthing itself in a way. So. Yeah, it was just kind of confronting, like, all right, here we go, no turning back, and just having to really surrender to it and be with it moment by moment. So I just felt a real call to be present with each sensation as it arose and fell away. And I was pretty keen to get into the water pretty quickly.
What was the time around this time that the waters broke and then your friend came around? What kind of time span was this?
Do you mean duration? So it was probably within 3 hours or so. So yeah. I started, you know, it was about 8 o'clock. It was dark. I also had really, it was very hot, it was February, and I really didn't want to birth during the day. And so, you know, I was also just like, okay, it's nighttime, it's dark, let's do this.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, about 8 o'clock I started labouring, yeah.
Yeah. So you were in the shower. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I was in the shower just getting like the, just really enjoying the heat on my body and the water, you know, on my body and that, the sensation of that. After a while it did get a little bit, you know, too strong, the sensation. So I got myself out into the lounge. Meanwhile, my partner and support person had prepared the pool, and there was essential oils in the diffuser, and they had put on some music that I had already, playlist that I'd created. I had an altar set up. Yeah, everything, the space was really amazingly well kind of set, came together quite magically. Mm. I had my exercise ball, so I was kind of sitting on that and just really kind of getting into my body. And, I just felt really, I felt quite relaxed. I wasn't any kind of, you know, panic or rush. I just really surrendered to it. I mean, that bit was really quite enjoyable. Comparatively to, you know, transition, but
yeah. So what helped you during that time was the shower in the beginning, being on the Pilates ball, having a space obviously in your home mm-hmm. that felt safe mm-hmm. and what else?
Yeah,
what else
it was the candles, having the candles burning, having really gentle, calming music. My partner had lit a fire out the front and out the back, and you know, he was really, really, once he was called to action, he was really present and really supportive and really anchored and strong. And and my support person, you know, I'd actually been present at both of her births, so we have a rapport that felt really, just really very well held and taken care of and safe, and everything was, I didn't have to think about anything.
Mm, that is so good.
Yeah.
So conducive for birthing, what you need, that you can just let go of your mind and just mm-hmm. trust, because mm-hmm. you know everything's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Mm.
And then?
So I was in my birth pool for good 4, 5, 6 hours.
Wow.
In sort of, you know, just laboring through there. It was really, I suppose it's difficult to even comment because it just feels like a very, like one drawn out moment in time. You know, it's just kind of stretches and time becomes a bit
timeless.
Yeah, timeless, exactly. Time doesn't really exist in that realm so much. I was just riding the wave, so I had done a calm birth sort of preparation of just, you know, really riding the waves, being really present with the sensation as they come and go, and just paying really deep attention to my body. I was really deeply inside my body. I every so often I'd be given a straw with some liquid and I'd drink, or someone would pop an ice cube in my mouth, or there would be a warm wet towel placed on my back, or, you know, and I really just kind of relaxed in it, moved my body when I needed to move my body. And I think, yeah, during that time, my sound effects started to change. So as we got earlier into the morning, early in the morning, probably about 1 or 2, I'm guessing, I had my doula then arrived and my 3 support people were just sort of taking care of everything, you know, around. And my sound effects changed. They started getting much more deep and primal and, you know, animalistic in a way, you know. And I had really prepared with sound. Was a really big tool for me to just really, when the sensations became really quite strong or overwhelming, I would express that, like meet that with sound. And it enabled me to, like, it created a bit of a guide rope for me to know that I'm having this physical sensation and I'll make this sound, and as I draw out the sound, once the sound's complete, then there'll be the moment of rest and I'll be able to go back into silence and into stillness. And then the sensation would arise again, and I would use sound to kind of as a guide to get me through the intensity of the sensations until I came to the other end.
Mm.
Sound is so potent, isn't it? It can really transform and transmute and move.
Yeah, and I really felt my unborn child responding to that sound in a way, you know, like a calling to her, you know, like, and us kind of, just connecting in that unseen realms with the spirit of the child. And I think the sound, also helped give my support crew indication of when I was approaching transition.
Yeah.
So my doula then called my actual midwife team. It wasn't too far from hospital, so I had another midwife, her support midwife, and a student midwife present. So I had, in the end, quite a substantial team, but I never, because I was already so deep in my own birthing process, I didn't really pay too much attention to them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So at that point, the midwife and her crew showed up, and that's when I was like, okay, this is, now we're getting serious. Like, this is, we're getting closer to something serious happening, you know. And
so tell us about transition. Did you ever get that feeling of fear or anxiety or a sense of now the veils are so thin? What's your experience of transition?
Yeah, so it was very evident when I started going into transition. I feel probably not long after the midwife and her team arrived, I was very much aware that I was in a transitionary state. The sensations were really overwhelming, almost like electricity. It was like I had become a massive electrical storm, and when the currents, the sensations arose, it was like electricity through my entire body. And I definitely became aware of this portal or gateway within myself. And I even, a lot of fear sort of arose, not like that it took over me, but I was aware that it was there, mainly because my body had never experienced that kind of impulses or sensations before. It was, and so I just, really connected with my breath through that. But I did definitely, the most significant part of transition was in moving through this portal and being very aware at the time that this was the portal where women and children have passed away during birth. And it was like I was greeted by the spirit of all these women and children who had passed during birth. And I was aware that this was, the death rebirth portal. And that was, it was confronting, but it was also kind of like welcoming and reassuring. It felt very natural and familiar. And I really embraced it. And it kind of encouraged me, of like, okay, I have to breathe myself and my baby through this portal. I have to trust life and death, and what will be will be. And all I can do is breathe and be present to each moment as it arises.
I really love how you bring this into awareness, because a lot of cultures, they compared men going to war with women birthing. Like, both was a rite of passage. Both was really facing death in a sense, isn't it? It's a very, it's beautiful that you brought that to surface. Thank you.
Yeah, it was probably, one of the most profound standout moments in the entire initiation experience. And through that, I did notice myself at times kind of wanting to kind of reach out to the external world for reassurance. And I did definitely have moments of like, I actually cannot do this. And how the hell are you going to get me from here to the hospital now if I can't do this? Mm-hmm. And my midwife encouraged me to just kind of move around in different positions. And then I was also encouraged to hop out of the pool. And that took the whole thing to a, you know, whole new level of sensation. It was so unbearably strong that when the contractions came, my legs kind of melted out from underneath me into electrical, you know, lightning bolts. And it took a lot of focus to remain conscious and present and upright. And yeah, that really, I think it's been spoken of a lot, you know, when you go sit on the toilet and it's like, do I need to use the toilet, or am I going to have a baby, or what is actually going on?
Because it feels like that, doesn't it? Like you're going to have the biggest poo of your life.
Yeah, or just, yeah, the internal kind of perspective of what is actually going on down there and who the hell thought this was a good idea. To put all these parts of the body in this together in this way, you know, I was definitely consulting God quite a lot as to what exactly, you know, this force of creation, why exactly it manifested in this, you know, put us together in this way. Like, surely there must be an easier way to do this. And so after that, you know, I had everybody just like, you can do it, you can do it, it's fine, just, you know, just stay present, keep breathing. And I went outside and connected with my Ganesha statue outside and the fire. And yeah, I was like, I get flashes of it, you know. It was kind of like, I don't really know what else to compare it to be honest. Yeah, it was a very multidimensional sort of experience. And at that point, the midwife was like, okay, you know, I think you're doing really well. Just hop back in the bath. And my crew, everybody just stayed outside and let myself and my partner be in the space by ourselves. And at that point, I was saying to him, I really don't think I can do this. And he's like, I really believe that you can. Mm. I was like, yeah, so we were having a bit of a conversation, you know, and about whether I could or couldn't.
Yeah.
And I think at some point I was just like, there is actually no other option. I'm not going to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to entertain that. So we're just going to just do this. Yeah. And so at that point, you know, I was just I just gave myself over to it. I was like, that, you know, what else? There's no antidote to this, and
you just have to go through it.
Yeah. And I, you know, from my memory at that point, you know, I was making some pretty horrific sounds. I remember seeing the face of my friend and my main midwife said, do you feel like perhaps you could start pushing? And it hadn't actually even occurred to me. I was like, oh, that's right. Maybe I should give a, you know, try pushing. Yeah. I hadn't really gotten too involved in what was happening. I was just kind of letting it happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's when the real work began. Mm. And having to really steady myself in between the waves and the contractions and the strength of that, and then and really engage my full presence and force to push. And I'm not sure how long that went on for, to be honest with you, but I do recall the kookaburras started singing, which meant the sun was coming. Yeah. And I recall a part of myself being like, all right, it's nearly daytime, you know, it's time, you know, it's, I'm ready for this to come to completion. And I was really tired. And yeah, I was really ready for my baby to come, and that felt like that 2 hours or 3-4 hours of transition, whatever it was, felt like 10 times longer than pre-labor. It just felt like it just wasn't going to end. And every time I would, you know, kind of touch to see if I could feel it, it was like, no, she wasn't even close. And I was like, what? How far can that 5 inches or whatever it is, how long, far can that be? You know, how long can that take?
I love that. So you did your own vaginal internal examination kind of thing, checking.
Well, yeah, every so often, because I was curious. It felt like she was well and truly, like, you know, there. And then I'd check and I couldn't feel her. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But yeah, my team was really, really quite amazing, just guidance and reassurance and hearing the heartbeat. So I'm not sure what that...
The Doppler.
Yeah. So hearing the heartbeat of my child made a huge difference. I actually feel like, you know, her strength of her spirit really regulated me. Because I was starting, you know, my heart rate was starting to increase and I was getting a little bit panicky of like, you know, what if she gets stuck right there, then what?
And it's really physiologically how it is in that second stage. You do get naturally a rush of adrenaline. And so you do get that higher heart rate. You do get that. It's natural. It's a part of it to kind of make you push your baby out to get that extra strength.
Yeah.
It's good to know that.
Yeah. So when I heard her heartbeat was really steady and smooth and slow, I was just like, all right. And it gave me a lot more strength. That was a big relief for me.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure. I think once she started crowning, it's just so deep into a sensory realm that everything else was not even, I can't recall anything really besides the actual sensation of like my hips completely coming apart and just this incredible force field of energy around me and just my sheer will to get her out, pretty much.
How did you experience crowning? What did that feel like in your vagina?
It felt hot, like burning. It was really a burning ring of fire. I guess they describe it, a ring of fire sensation, really burning, quite uncomfortable,
physiologically just like hard to even comprehend, you know, of like what is it that's, you know, going on in there. But there was also a relief, you know, it was like, wow, we are just so close.
Yeah.
And so at that stage, I really just followed the midwife's guidance, you know, when she's, yeah, when she would guide me, you know, to push, push. And there was a point where I was aware that the midwife suggested that I push, and I knew that it was, that if I pushed that I was going to tear.
Yeah.
And so there was something instinctually in me that knew that I needed to do this really slowly and to let my body stretch in its own way. And so I really had to listen to my own body whilst appreciating the guidance, also knowing that if I push too hard or too fast, it's going to be not great. So
I love that. I love that you felt that so strongly.
Yeah, it was really clear. Yeah, it was clear. There was a really clear one particular moment where she was like, okay, push. And I was like, nah. And I just waited and then until my body was ready and I pushed. And then her head came out. What was funny in my story is that my whole experience, I had this birth pool and a lot of care had been taken to keeping the birth pool warm and keeping it with, you know, clean water. And in the end, the velocity of her head kind of emerging, crowning out of me, meant my whole backside popped out of the water.
Yeah.
So I was kind of down in downward dog almost,
yeah,
with my bum in the air.
Because yeah. Once the head is above water, you can't go down again.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why.
Yeah, so that was a humbling experience to have my head down, my bum up, and everybody there. And, you know, once that particular velocity had subsided, my body just wanted to melt back into the water and everyone's like, no, don't, just stay up. And there was a lot of swearing at that stage where I look back and I wish I had, you know, chanted the names of all the goddesses or something instead, but there was a lot of swearing.
Yeah.
And almost like, and celebration of just, yeah, like, oh my gosh.
Just expression like, of emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I think the midwife sort of turned her shoulders and my partner, caught her. She slipped out. I fell back into the water in complete relief, absolute relief and astonishment and just exhaustion, and he handed my daughter over to me, and I just like at that moment it did feel like I died, like the relief and the overwhelming response of oxytocin and the sheer fact that she was fine and I was fine was just so profound that like whoever I had been in those hours before or the woman before or whatever it was, just everything, it was obliterated and I was just now that moment with my new baby and everyone was fine and we were fine and it was unbelievable, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had that sensation like that the old you died and the new you kind of were born. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I just really felt, you know, just like the vulnerability and the sensitivity and the fragility and, just all those other qualities sort of surface.
Yeah.
And, the incredible love, the power of that love and just her tiny little slimy little body on my chest. I was in tears. I was just in tears and I was overwhelmed with gratitude, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And what happened then? Did you stay in the bath and birth the placenta?
I stayed in the bath. I did. I stayed in the bath. And I actually, you know, somebody had shared a story with me about birthing placenta that really wasn't helpful. And I was, you know, kind of, I was like, oh my God, okay, so I just did that and now I have to do this next thing. And
what was the thing that they told you that didn't serve you?
Well, she basically had natural birth the entire way, and then her placenta was fused or something, and it was attached and she couldn't birth it. So she had to go to the hospital with her baby and her placenta still inside her.
And so that was in your mind.
Yeah, I was just like, it was really confronting and scary of just like, I don't want that to happen to me. And I'm exhausted. And I just got my baby out. Why can't the placenta just come out, you know? And funnily enough, it actually then did. So I stayed in the water. I think it was probably just a couple of minutes. The midwife encouraged me if I felt to push. And I pushed, and literally within 5 minutes, the placenta just fell out.
Beautiful. How easy.
It was such a relief.
Yeah, I was can just imagine. Like,
thank God. It was really healing for me for that not to have to be more work.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need any more work.
No.
Yeah, so it just slipped right out, and everybody took care of what needed to be taken care of. And I was given some refreshments and, during that whole process, one of my doula was playing medicine drum. And so my sisters were there singing to me and the baby, which was really beautiful to have that live kind of sound, music, vibration, prayer in the space.
Yeah.
And, I think I was helped out of the pool and laid down on the couch. They placed her on my chest. And we just let her do that natural
baby crawl.
Yeah, up to let her find the breast, which is really, it's like when you see kittens, you know, where they haven't opened their eyes yet and they're just like trying to find their way in the dark. It was very, very cute to see this little newborn creature using its instincts. And by that time it was like she was born at 8:31 in the morning. And
beautiful. And that baby crawl, that initiation of breastfeeding from actually baby, just sets you up for the best initiation of breastfeeding. Isn't that beautiful? That had you done some research around that too?
Not really research. I just heard of it, the women that were present encouraged me to try that, and if I wanted to try that. And so we just let her crawl up my body. I was actually too exhausted to do anything else. I was like, I hope she just finds her way. She did. She just found her way to my nipple, kind of latched on after a little while, and
And then they were off.
The midwives, need to do their thing, like the measuring and the weighing and the clamping of the cord. We let her cord stay until it started to pale and change color. We let it kind of get her blood back. And then a little while later they clamped the cord. But it was when the midwife said, I'm just going to check you to see if you've got any tears. And I was just like, if I'm torn, you can just leave me torn because I'm never doing this again. That was great. I'm finished. And I just didn't want anyone to touch me, I just didn't want to be touched. And fortunately, I didn't have any tearing. And I really believe that was because I listened to my body.
Listened to your body,
Yeah, I did have some of those, like, what do they call them?
Grazes.
Yeah. Which were painful enough. But I was, I just really grateful that I didn't need to be you know, have any other activity going on down there afterwards.
Yeah, it's enough having a baby and a placenta. Yeah,
I understand that. Yeah.
What did you do anything with your placenta?
So my doula did this beautiful little design with the placenta. Like, she put the placenta on the chopping board, and then with the umbilical cord, she wrote the word love and took a photo.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
It was so beautiful. So I have that photo, and then I actually just got them to cut it up. And we froze it, and I then would, for the weeks afterwards, I would just put some of it in, like, berry smoothies.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Did it taste anything? Could it taste it?
No.
No.
Not when you've got raspberries and blueberries and strawberries and all these other things there.
And what was the intention of doing that?
The intention was really to nourish myself and to, to give back to my body, essentially, you know, to complete that cycle of this kind of organ that was once a part of me that fed and my child, and then gave it, returned it to myself to then feed me, so that I was then strong enough to then breastfeed my child, you know, just to keep, like, honoring that cycle.
Yeah,
it felt very natural to me to do that, and
beautiful.
Yeah,
what a lovely birth story.
Yeah, I feel really very blessed to have had such a remarkable experience, considering all the stories that are out there. And I also, you know, whilst my experience was, there was no intervention, and there was, I was really left to my own instincts a lot of the time. It was extraordinarily intense at times, and I wouldn't so much say that it was traumatic, but just the birth without anything else around it is really profoundly intense.
Yeah.
So I was extremely relieved that there had been no other intervention or complications or anything else, because I was so, you know, just naturally vulnerable and naturally sensitive and exposed, and, you know, that I could see it was very evident to me. I did actually have a lot of empathic resonance with women who had really challenging births, because I was like, wow, that my experience was a good birth, and even that was intense.
Yeah, well, birth is intense. I think it's really important to talk about it like that it truly is a rite of passage. It's not an easy thing to just have a baby. It really demands all your courage and strength. And I would love you to share what you think helped you have this natural and empowering birth experience. What were the different components and circumstances that made you be able to have this?
I'm like qualified as a naturopath, so I have complete innate trust in nature.
That was
my biggest resource, to really trust nature, to trust spirit, to trust myself, to trust my baby. I also, you know, my partner was really supportive of that. I felt I had a really supportive team that all encouraged me to do, you know, to trust that. I really really desired for my child to be birthed into the world in the most natural, safe way, that imprint, the birth imprint, and the way that the birth imprint can inform the entire nervous system and brain development of a new infant was really apparent to me. And I really wanted to, like, that was my purpose, you know, like, I was born to ensure the safe and healthy passage of this being into the world, And if I just did that right, then I could die feeling like I had accomplished my mission as a woman of the earth, you know? And that was
that's a strong anchor to really make that happen.
Yeah. So I had really strong intention. I'm also quite, you know, with my life journey and the work I've done, I've done a lot of sort of work on, you know, multidimensionality and transpersonal spiritual work and understand those other realms and the other dimensions and sensory perception and contacting my ancestors and my guides and my guardians and all these other forces to be around me to support me. And making it a ceremony, I suppose, you know, having complete like relationship with water, with fire, with the earth, with air, with my altar, with the music, with the scent of the oil, clary sage that was diffusing. All these different things just provided me with this environment of safety, because I wasn't at any point felt I was alone. You know, I was so supported on so many different dimensions to accomplish my kind of mission.
And that's something that is a red thread throughout most of the interviews, is that women say that their support was so important. Their partner or their mother or their support people, whoever was there and present, that they believed in the birth process, that they trusted birth and woman, and that they felt so safe in the space that they were birthing. Do you agree that that's
absolutely
something?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. If I had been in transition and telling everybody I couldn't do it and they said, yep, you're right, you can't actually do it, or if they were confronted and scared or triggered themselves, then it would have been an entirely different experience. And, so their trust and their ability to regulate themselves in the face of what you see in birth was really important for me to be able to just trust what was happening.
If you could give a pearl of wisdom or advice to a first-time mama about to have her first baby, what would you say to her? What would be the most important things for her to do in preparation or, to assist her to optimize her chances of having a natural and empowering birth experience?
I don't know if there's just one thing that I would say.
No, there's probably several.
Yeah.
You can tell us everything you have.
I suppose, to really, in the time leading up, focus and harness the healing resources within, to really make connection with your internal resources. There is so much external fear imprint that happens. It's just extraordinary. And to, you know, that in the preparation to exercise keeping that at a distance.
Boundaries.
And to creating your own boundary of safety, of security, of trust, of faith, of inner resilience and deep trust in yourself and your body and whatever practices, whatever you can draw on that gives you strength from the inside out. Yeah, so really creating firm boundaries against all the fear paradigm that can be projected onto women birthing, and to really exercise, harness and strengthen your own inner feminine strength and power and potential and birthright.
Could you say any practices that you used that you practice throughout your pregnancy?
Yeah, so I did a lot of sounding techniques. I would do chakra toning, and there are many different types of chakra toning that you can do. But I was, yeah, I would exercise chakra toning so that I would keep my, you know, chakras strong and aligned and myself centered in the middle of the storm. And also, you know, my awareness of the way that the baby responds to sound in the womb and how comforting that can and reassuring that can be for the unborn, you know, child. So sounding was a big one. Really connecting with the elements, you know, and connecting with the elements within myself. So this is part of my paradigm and my spiritual belief system of earth, fire, water, air, and recognizing myself, those elements within me, my body as the earth, my breath as the air, my spirit as the fire, my blood as the water, and harnessing the intelligence of those elements around me and within me was really powerful.
Is that something you do with meditation or mindfulness practices?
Mindfulness, meditation, dance, and just from building a relationship with nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the ceremony, just recognizing the ceremonial aspect that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. And trusting that and sort of replicating it. So I would do, you know, I was doing little ceremonies for myself and in life and for different things, but really preparing that this was going to be one of the major ceremonial initiations of my life, that nobody was going to be there to, you know, like adorn me and, you know, shower me with blessings or whatever. It was actually between me and spirit, or me and God and me and source. It was an initiation that, you know, that I was, myself and my child were conducting and that and receiving. And so just kind of celebrating and rejoicing and trying to focus on that, I suppose, in preparation.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing those preparation journeys that you went through to have this birth. That you had. Is there anything else you wish to share before you wrap up this podcast episode?
Yeah, I suppose something, you know, that I guess in it's becoming far more apparent is the aftercare of mothers. And so much emphasis is put on the birth.
Agreed.
And it really, and I, even though I had support in place, I had a meal train set up so that people would bring us meals and leave them there. I had my doulas checking in on me. I had my mother come for a short period of time afterwards. And even though I had all that support, I really realized I needed a lot more. Yeah. I wasn't prepared to be alone with a baby.
Yeah.
I had no idea of how to be with a baby. I was recovering from the birth, my own physicality, the hormones, the chemicals, sleep deprivation, never in my life encountered like that level of, the only way I can describe it is insanity. I was so sleep deprived. My partner was really very supportive, and still I don't know what else I could have had, but I really wished I had more support.
Yeah, and it's so important that you say that, because I think especially first time mamas, it is a big focus on the birth, and fair enough, because that is just what we talked about. It's an amazing rite of passage. It's a huge event in your life. But to prepare for the postpartum is so important too. And I love that you bring that to surface, because it is something that we don't really talk about that much. And that's something that is now starting to become something we talk about, and it needs the space to really be explored. And how can I be truly nourished so I can only focus on healing myself and just, you know, understanding what has happened. That mm-hmm. is a big deal, isn't it? Mm. And at the same time, just bonding with your baby and breastfeeding, those are well and truly full-time jobs all at once, just mm-hmm. those things. So mm-hmm. bonding, breastfeeding, and healing from your birth, it's 300% mm-hmm. of work, isn't mm-hmm. it? And anything else is just, even that is almost too much.
Yeah, so it's definitely, for me, you know, I have always kind of had a desire to support women through birth because I find it such a remarkable experience. But now, having had a child myself, I personally would be inclined to support women after birth.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that really was a struggle and a challenge for me, that everybody was about the baby.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I'd gone from being this big, beautiful, pregnant mama, and I was about to have this child and make this family, and I'd gone through this massive initiation, completely died and dissolved and mm-hmm. given myself in servitude to this being, and then everybody was about the baby mm-hmm. and everybody wanted to see her, and everyone, you know, was all about mm-hmm. her. And whilst I naturally want my child to be showered and mm-hmm. held in love, I really needed that attention too, and that was what was missing for me in the process.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I would have, you know, we have these kind of belly blessings beforehand, yeah. and I wish now in retrospect that I had mm. some sort of ceremony, closing of the bones,
yeah.
or something afterwards where I had been given touch and mm. love and attention and rejoice and mm. celebration of mm. just what I had accomplished, because I didn't get that.
I love that to say that, yes.
Yeah, and okay. so I really, what's the word? I encourage women to set that up for themselves.
Yeah.
Beforehand, that's already in place for however long after they give birth, that there is yeah. a point at which that they are really celebrated,
mm.
pampered, rejoiced, nourished, you know, just completely loved up, so that they are coming from a full feeling, mm. really full and replenished and revitalized. Mm. 'Cause yeah, whilst I was really well taken care of, I also felt very depleted and physically knocked around and just like, what a now? You know, it's giving, yeah. giving, 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 even when you feel you have not much left. Was like,
yeah, because it really goes from that massive rite of passage straight into now being fully there for this other being,
mm-hmm.
non-stop 24/7. Mm-hmm. You don't get that pause of going,
yeah,
let me process this huge transition into mm-hmm. mother and everything you just explained. And I love that we're talking about this, because it is so important
mm-hmm.
and worthwhile, really, really, for any mama, but especially first-time mamas,
mm-hmm.
to really take the postpartum period seriously mm-hmm. and set them up as much as possible for success with mm-hmm. a tribe and the ceremony and mm-hmm. and other bits and pieces that can serve them
mm-hmm.
when they need to heal and bond and mm-hmm. breastfeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the physical, you know, the receiving of food and nourishment, mm-hmm. really, really important. And just as important, the energetic love, mm-hmm. the touch, the massage, the hair brushing, the, yeah. you know, the physical care, so that, yeah, in the same way that child is being, you know, loved and cared for, to receive that as a new mother, mm. you know, a newborn mother.
Is, yes, it's a newborn mother, isn't yeah. it? Just as it's a newborn baby.
Yeah.
Both need equally as much of love and yeah. care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this and for bringing this to the surface. And thank you so much for sharing your natural birth story.
My pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.